right. CBSM, open up your Bibles with me to the book of Micah. The book of Micah. I think it's like the 32nd book of the Bible. I know we've already gotten you to stand up, but if you're in 6th or 7th grade, or this is your first time back to see, this is your first time to CBSM ever, or in a long time, would you just raise your hand for me? 6th or 7th grade, or first time back to CBSM in a long time, or first time here ever, raise your hand. Just check it. All right. Awesome. Put your hands down. Lots and lots of people, and because we knew that because school is starting back, at least for Madison City and Westminster right now, Madison County and Limestone County next week, I wanted to preach to you like I like to do at least once a year, just to kind of remind us of who we are at CBSM. I'm going to do the same thing next week to go into a little bit more detail, but to remind you who we are and what we believe at CBSM, why we do what we do. I can remember, finally, when I was going into the seventh grade, right? Going into the seventh grade, and I remember I got to do something that I had never gotten to do before that I was looking forward to. Through all my elementary years, finally, I got to play football for my school, okay? Little bitty, I'm talking, I was probably 4'10", seventh grader, I don't know, 95 pounds. I was a little bitty guy. And so I was thinking, man, I'm going to play football for my school because I always wanted to be a football player. I loved Friday nights. I loved going to the games. I loved cheering on our team. I loved just seeing what the guys were doing out on the field. I loved hearing the crowds. I loved hearing all the cheers, the roars of the crowd, everybody going crazy for their teams. I mean, it was glorious. These guys got respect, right? They got respect in the halls. People respect the football players. I remember that. I was thinking, man, they get the cheers, they get the crowds, they get the cheerleaders. You know what I'm saying? So basically, the football players, man, they got it all together. They got it all together. So I was thinking, man, this is easy. This is easy. I'm going to go and play me some football. I remember that summer going out for the football team, and it was a rude awakening. How many football players do we have in here tonight? Football players? Football, raise them high. Nothing to be ashamed of. Come on, except for, okay, never mind. I'm not going to say that. All right, put your hands down. Football is a tough sport, I found out very quickly. A tough sport very quickly. I found out very quickly that there was something that was called two-a-days, all right? Two-a-days. I had never heard of this thing, two-a-days, before. Football players, you know what I'm talking about. Seventh grader, I didn't get to enjoy my summer. I had to wake up really early, go out in the summer heat, and we did crazy stuff, you know, like three-man rolls. I did not know why we had to jump over each other and keep rolling and stand up and jump over each other again. It didn't make any sense to me. I don't know why that we had to practice twice a day. Surely one practice is good enough. We had to keep running and running and running till we puked. I had to learn what to eat. If I had eggs and bacon and sausage in the morning, it was gone, right? I mean, it didn't take long at all. I had to eat grapes and fruit just to keep stuff down. And it was nuts just going through all the hitting drills. And then my team, usually the middle school or the junior varsity team, practice with the varsity team. And so for some reason, we were like the second team that they would beat up on and they would play against. That's why we weren't any good, because they were playing against middle schoolers. And I can literally remember high schoolers picking me up by the face mask, swinging me around into another high schooler so they could hit me and slam me on the ground. I did not last long. Okay, as a seventh grader playing football, I did not last long. I quit. I quit. I could not handle it. It was rough, and I cried, and it was very sad. And if you make fun of me, I'll punch you in the face. Okay, so it was very difficult to play football. I couldn't handle it. I did not know what I was getting into. I didn't know what I was getting into. Here at CBSM, middle schoolers, if you're here for the first time, or if you're back and you haven't been here in a while, and you're thinking, because school is starting back, a lot of people think, when school is starting back, I want to try out church again. I want to try out this Jesus thing again. I know I need a change in my life. I know I need something to happen in my life. I know that I need to live my life in a better way because I go through guilt and shame and all those different things. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you that you get to know, that you understand what you're getting yourself into. So tonight, I want to be very honest with you about what you're getting yourself into, because we're praying at CBSM that God will keep you here. That God will keep you here and keep you a part of us so that you can be a part of this amazing movement that God is doing to change this community, to change this city, and we get to go to other states, and hopefully this coming summer we'll get to go to another country. I would love to take some of our teenagers there, that we want to change the world for Jesus. So tonight, I want to share with you, if you get involved here, and CBSMers, those of you who are here every week, this is not a night for you to turn your ears off thinking that you already know everything. These are things that you need to write down, that you need to take notes on, understanding this is what you need to tell other people that we are all about. And it just so happens that it's all found in the book of Micah, the next book in our series. It's absolutely amazing. We want you to know how your life is going to change. We want you to know how your thinking would literally change. We want you to know how your attitude would change, how your faith would change, how your beliefs would change, how your family would change, how your life literally would look different. So check it out here with me in Micah chapter 1. First thing on your sheet right here on your handout, if you would write down for me in that first blank, who are we really? Who are we really? Because if there's one thing I know about teenagers, or just know about people in general, we don't know who we really are. So many of the teenage years is spent on trying to understand who you are. You want to know who you are. You want to know who you're supposed to be, who you are going to be, right? That's why we called it this song, I'm Gonna Be, that 500-mile song as we're going through the one-hit wonders. I'm Gonna Be. Who is it that you are going to be? What kind of job are you gonna have? What kind of family are you gonna have? Where are you gonna live? Are you gonna be happy? Are you gonna be miserable? Who are you going to be? Tonight, if you listen, it will be a defining night for your future in who you are going to be, who you're going to be. Because a lot of times people, they don't understand who they are. So many people, their mamas have told them how special they are. You know, and mamas, every day before people, some people walk out the door, mama's got to come up and tell them how special they are. They don't understand. Mama's got her fingers crossed saying special Ed under her breath, you know? And so it's not just special, but special. And so some people, they believe their mama, that they really think they're the most special, cutest person in the world. God's gift to the ladies, God's gift to the guys or whatever. Some people think they're a lot cooler than they really are. We call it the Rebecca Black syndrome, you know? You think you're awesome, but really you're kind of struggling. And so there's a lot of people, they don't understand who they are. A lot of people, man, they think that the world revolves around them. And so they get mad because they think, why aren't these people listening to me? Why aren't these people doing what I tell them to do? Why aren't these people focusing on me? Why aren't they praising me all the time, encouraging me all the time? Why doesn't everybody want to be my friend? I don't understand this. Some people just think that they're naturally good. That's what our world loves to teach us today, that inside, deep down within us, we are all naturally good. And I want you to know that it's a lie from Satan. Deep down, you are not naturally good. Deep down, you are not someone that is great. The world does not revolve around us. And it's a scary wake-up call when we realize that. And so I want you to understand that at CBSM, we're going to be very honest with you. We're not going to pump you full of a bunch of lies so that you feel good about yourself all the time. We want to be very real about who we are and about who God says that we are. Because we don't know who we are except for what God says. Look at Micah chapter 1. Micah chapter 1. Verse 1 says, the word of the Lord that came to Micah of Moresheth. In the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, the kings of Judah, when he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Basically, Micah was this prophet. Micah was the picked out prophet by God. And Micah had to go to God's people and deliver to them God's truth because they would not listen to God. So God picked out a prophet, one of their own people, to go to them, to talk with them, and to deliver this message. Check it out. Look at verse 2. Micah says to them, hear, you peoples, all of you. Pay attention, O earth, and all that is in it, and let the Lord God be a witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord is coming out of his place. The Lord is going to come down, and he's going to tread upon the high places of the earth, and the mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will split open like wax before the fire, like waters poured down on a steep place. All this is for the transgression of Jacob, for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgressions of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what is the high place of Judah? Is it not Jerusalem? Basically, you see God here ticked off. God is getting off his throne, and God is coming back to his people like a warrior, and God is about to wreck some serious shop because he is so mad at his people. How could a God be angry, be mad at his people? What have they done? Would God ever be mad at us? What have these people done? Well, check it out. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, woe to those, or watch out, judgment is coming. Chapter 2, verse 1, woe to those who devise wickedness. He's saying those people who think out evil plans and they put their plans together to where wrong doesn't just happen to them, that, you know, it's like they just make the wrong decision at the wrong moment, but they make plans to do wrong. It's wrong anyways to just to not be planning on it and it happening and you making the wrong decision at the wrong time. But God is saying these people go even further. They make plans to do what's wicked. They make plans to do what's wrong. He says, woe to them. Woe to them who work evil on their beds. You can guess what that's talking about, right? You can guess. Sexual immorality. And we don't skirt around issues around here. We're not trying to bypass or beat the bush or anything like that. We like to be straight up and be honest. You can go back 5 weeks ago and listen to our sermon on Hosea, where I got to say the word whore like 18,000 times because it was in the Bible that many times because God was so ticked at his people that he had united himself to them, but they were cheating on God because they were sinning and following after other gods. God is straight up about sin. God is real about it. We need to be real with God about our sin in our confession. And God is saying, watch out if you're someone who works evil on your bed. If you're someone who is getting caught up in any type of sexual immorality, if it's on your bed or not, if it's on your computer, if it's on your iPod, if it's on your cell phone, or if it's just in your mind, that we need to keep ourselves sexually pure. It says, when the morning dawns, they perform it, but it is in the power of their hand. They covet fields and seize them and houses and take them away. It's literally talking about people who steal from other people. People who take things that is not theirs. God says that he hates that. He says that he sees his people that are looking at what other people have. It's not theirs, but they take it for themselves. They did not earn it. They did not own it. It is stolen. God says that he hates the sin of thievery. He says, and they oppress a man and his house and a man and his inheritance. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, against this family I am devising disaster, from which you cannot remove your necks, and you shall not walk haughtily, for it will be a time of disaster. God wants us to know who we are. God wants you to know who you are. God wants you to know that you are a sinner. You cannot understand Jesus as your Savior until you understand yourself as a sinner, because if you're not a sinner, then Jesus never needed to come as a Savior. There's nothing for him to save you from. The Bible says that Jesus is a Savior. He came to die for us as Savior, and so we must all be sinners. We don't have any good within us. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, for there are none righteous, there are none good, not even one. None of us naturally on the inside are naturally good. Why would I tell you that? Because that's what God says. And I don't want to lie to you. I want to make sure you understand yourself. I want to make sure you understand the Bible. The better you understand God's word and the better you understand yourself, the better relationship that you are going to have with God himself. The church is a lot like a hospital. I'm going to take that back. Some churches are a lot like a hospital. Hospitals, you go in and they are supposed to tell you what is wrong with you. They're supposed to point out your sickness. They're supposed to point out your disease. They're supposed to point out what is going wrong within your body. They're not trying to pamper you. They're not trying to puff you up to where you feel better about who you are than who you truly are. They are trying to give you the truth. Here is what's going wrong inside of you, and here is what you can do to fix it. Here is how we can help you. Here at CBSM, we love you. We do not judge sinners. We do not embarrass sinners. We do not do anything that we would bring shame upon you or anything like that at all. God loves sinners. And we at CBSM, we are all sinners. We have all had to come to this understanding of who we are. So we're not saying you bunch of sinners. We're saying you're a part of us. We're all sinners. We have to understand what God is telling us because he is holy and we are sinners. And we have to be able to call out each other's sin to help each other move more and more towards Christ. We have to be able to say, you are struggling with lying. We have to be able to say, you are struggling with anger. We have to be able to say, you are struggling with lust, or you are struggling with gossip, or you are struggling with whatever. And we don't pick on people. We don't just pick out sins that we think are worse than the rest. We just pick out the sins that come up in the Bible as we preach through it all the way from Genesis to Revelation. Who are we really? Who are we really? You are a creation of God, and you are of great worth to him. God deeply loves you with a love that we cannot even fathom and we cannot even understand. The problem is that we don't love him back. And so what has God had to do? God has had to send a Savior in our place, Jesus Christ, to die for our sin, so that when we believe in Jesus on his death and on his resurrection, that Jesus comes into our lives, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and energizes us, drives us to love God, drives us to live for Jesus, not just because we don't want to, but because we never will. We never would without the power of Jesus Christ. Who are we really? We are creations of God who have turned on God, who are in need of Jesus Christ. You come here, you bring your friends here, we're not going to sugarcoat things. We're going to tell them the truth. The truth may hurt, but the truth also helps. You have to know who you really are. Secondly, not just who we really are, who are we really, but secondly, who really is Jesus? Who really is Jesus? Because, I mean, let's be honest, people get this wrong all the time. Who is Jesus really? Well, we're talking about the Jesus of the Bible. So many people have ridiculous thoughts of who Jesus is. Some people believe in hippie Jesus. I've talked about this before. Hippie Jesus, the Jesus that, he always has his pet lamb with him. You know, he's very world-minded and he works for PETA and all these things. He's got his lamb. Why would Jesus walk around with a lamb around his neck in the dead heat of a Middle Eastern summer? Would you please answer that for me? It's not going to happen, right? Jesus, his neck would be just sweating unbelievably bad all the time if he had wool wrapped around his neck like a scarf all the time. Jesus isn't hippie Jesus where he just wants to give lamb sheep noogies all the time to everybody that he comes in contact with. That's not who Jesus is. A shepherd in the Bible is actually a warrior. A shepherd is a roughneck, someone who protects the sheep and provides for the sheep. Some people see Jesus is sissy Jesus. You know, sissy Jesus that you see the pictures that not only does he have a lamb around his neck, but he has the shiniest, silkiest, oversaturated locks of Pantene hair you've ever seen in your life, right? I mean, this hair in these pictures of Jesus that every girl is jealous of, they all want Jesus' hair, right? Because it's the long locks of hair, and it's, you know, he's already showered 5 times that day, and it's beautiful Jesus. This effeminate Jesus, Jesus with the super long eyelashes and the really smooth skin. It's a Jesus, guys, that we can take. You know what I'm saying? We can beat that Jesus down. And you're not going to worship and you're not going to follow the Jesus that you can beat down. A lot of times we picture BFF or homeboy Jesus. right? We talk about Jesus or BFF or our homeboy. I about lost my mind today. Drove by a church, and their church sign said, "You have a friend request from Jesus." I about lost my mind. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Working on Facebook, you have a friend, like Jesus just wants to be your pal. Here's the deal. If all we do is call Jesus our friend, our homeboy, our BFF, friends, homeboys, and BFFs are equal to us. Jesus is not our equal. We are in a relationship. If you are saved, you are in a relationship with Jesus Christ. But don't let that relationship be void of worship. It has to be a worshipful relationship. He is a friend who is closer than a brother. John 15, Jesus has died for his friends. That's the best thing a friend could ever do. He is a dear friend to us, but is a friendship that is a worshipful kind of relationship. He is not an equal to us whatsoever. So many different types of Jesuses. You know, it's a preppy frat Jesus, the frat guy who will never take off his toga. And he's, you know, this Jesus doesn't drink beer, of course, but he drinks herbal tea and different things like that. I think the one that we probably think about Jesus the most is baby Jesus. You know, we get baby Jesus, 6-pound, 8-ounce baby Jesus. We get him all wrong, right? And so we celebrate Christmas and we sing happy birthday to baby Jesus. To where baby Jesus, honestly, in our minds, he never gets out of the manger. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's always, we think about Jesus as baby Jesus, and baby Jesus is not really all that threatening at all. We can make up our own Jesus all the time. Here's the deal. At my birthday, I don't want you singing happy birthday to baby Chip. You know what I'm saying? I don't want you singing happy birthday to baby Chip. I want you to sing happy birthday this January 5th to 34-year-old, big, grown, manly Chip, okay? That's what I want you to do. There's no sweet little happy birthday to baby Chip. That is not cool for me, and it is way less cool for Jesus. Now, we celebrate Jesus' birth. We celebrate Christmas. Go and turn to Micah chapter 5. In Micah chapter 5, we see here that he is prophesying Jesus' birth, but we can't leave Jesus in the manger. Cows were not coming over to worship baby Jesus. They wanted some hay that he was laying on. You know what I'm saying? Baby Jesus is not a threat. Baby Jesus is not a worshipful figure because it's a baby. He is a baby. If you've seen the movie Talladega Nights, I got some quotes for you. All right, people who make up their own Jesuses, all right? I like to picture Jesus as a figure skater. He wears like a white outfit and he does interpretive ice dances all of my life's journey. That was on Talladega Nights. I dream, and these are a little edgy, so just deal with it. I had a dream where Jesus was a dirty old bum. And I was about to sock Jesus in the face because, well, he was a dirty old bum. But then I thought there's something special about him. Yeah, he's Jesus. Third, I like to picture Jesus in a tuxedo t-shirt because it says, "I want to be formal, but I'm here to party." I like to think of Jesus like, I love how they insert the like in all these quotes. I like to think of Jesus like with giant eagle's wings and singing lead vocals for Lynyrd Skynyrd with like an angel band, and now I'm in the front row and I'm hammered drunk. And of course the prayer, "Dear Lord baby Jesus, I want to thank you for this wonderful meal, my two beautiful sons, Walker and Texas Ranger, and my red hot smoking wife, Carly." So there you go. Now, if you have not seen Talladega Nights, in all honesty, don't watch it. Don't. If you have not seen it, I'm being dead serious. Spare yourself. There's so much language and so much ridiculousness and unchristian, Satanist kind of stuff in this movie that really you can spare yourself from spiritually. But listen to what Micah has to say. Because we have to get the right Jesus. We have to get the right Jesus. If you're worshiping the wrong Jesus, then you're not worshiping Jesus. Does that make sense? If you're worshiping the wrong Jesus, then you're not worshiping Jesus. This is what Micah says in Micah chapter 5. He says, "Now muster your troops, O daughter of troops, because siege has been laid against us," or God is coming. God is coming to judge us. "With a rod, and they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem," what do we know about Bethlehem? Bethlehem is what? place where Jesus was born, right? Bethlehem at this time is a tiny little town. Tiny little town. Probably a town of like literally maybe, from what I understand, about 100 people. A town of about this is a nothing, a nowhere. Most people couldn't even point it out on a map. They don't even know where it is. It's kind of like saying that the next president of the United States is coming from Capshaw. You know, where is Capshaw? Well, Capshaw's nowhere on the map. We have a post office, but no one's got a Capshaw address. You know, there's Harvest, and there's Athens, and there's Madison, but where's Capshaw? No one knows where Capshaw is. No one knows where Bethlehem is, but here's what he says. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. So here's what God is saying. There's about to be a ruler who is coming to God's people, coming from this tiny little town of Bethlehem. What is God doing? God loves to make great things out of small things. God loves to use humble, weak, unable people to do powerful things through them. If you feel like you're a nobody, don't try to just become great all by yourself. Understand that God loves to use people who are not prideful and use them for his glory to accomplish great things. God says that this ruler of Israel is coming from Bethlehem, and that the coming forth is from of old and from ancient days. Here's what he's saying. First of all, ancient days literally means eternal. So he's saying, this one is eternal who is coming. Who is Jesus? You've got to understand that Jesus is God. Jesus is not just God's son. Normally, the most answer that I get when I ask people, who is Jesus? People tell me God's son. That is true. Jesus is God's son, but Jesus is also God the Son. Because the way the Bible explains, the way God explains himself, is there are three persons. There are three persons within one God. It's only one God, not three gods. One God, and that God, three persons, is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. How do I explain that is one God and not three gods? How do I explain that's three persons and not one person? You can't. You can't. If you try to explain it with the shell, the egg, and the yolk, or the ice, and the water vapor, or the three-leaf clover, however you do it, there's going to be heresy on every side. You literally cannot explain it in a way that is not heretical, that is not wrong, that says something about Jesus that is not true about him. You can't do it. Who is Jesus? He's the second person of the Trinity. He is God's son, and he is God the Son. Who is he? He's ruler. Jesus is king. Jesus is someone to serve. Jesus is someone to sink your life into, to give your life to live for. And you will never be let down as you live for Jesus Christ, as you give your worship to Jesus Christ, because Jesus takes all of our sin. He is our Savior. He is our shepherd. Check it out. Here's what he goes on to say. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time, verse 3, when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And Jesus shall stand, and he shall shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. Who is this Jesus Christ? It says he's shepherd. He's shepherd. That doesn't mean that Jesus is cuddly. It doesn't mean that Jesus loves to lay down with the sheep all the time and he just wants to be with the softest animals that he can find. To be shepherd means, by the way, write this down, John chapter 10. Read this tonight before you go to bed. John chapter 10, Jesus says that he is shepherd. How is he shepherd? He is shepherd because he is the one who dies for his sheep. If you die for your sin, if you die for your sin, it will be an eternal death. Because we're sinners. We can't die for our sin and somehow satisfy God that we have gone through enough punishment because our sin is eternal against an eternally holy God. If you die for your sin, it will be an eternal death, eternal punishment in hell. But when Jesus dies for our sin, because he's perfect, because he's holy, because he's blameless, because he is sinless, Jesus dies for our sin, and those who believe on Christ, those who give their lives over to Jesus, those who say, Jesus, I believe that you've died for my sin, I believe that who I am, who you've said I am, that I am a sinner, Jesus, I believe that you rose from the dead, Jesus, I want to turn away from my sinful life, who I know that I am, and Jesus, I want to live for you because you've died for me, you've risen from the dead, Jesus, I confess you as the Lord of my life. God says when people trust in Jesus in that way, through what he calls the gospel, he says that everything changes for the rest of their life and the rest of their eternity right there. Jesus says, when you do that, you will be saved. God will change your life forever. God changes at that point from your judge, who is going to condemn you as guilty forever and cast you into hell. God changes from judge over to father. Father who loves you. A father who never condemns you. A father who never casts you out. A father who never abuses you. A father who constantly does everything for your good and cares for you in every single way that you need. You get the Holy Spirit. You get God's Spirit within you when you believe the gospel, because God's Spirit enters into us and God's Spirit gives us that heart to be obedient, to obey, to worship, and to follow after Christ. We don't have to change ourselves. God does the changing for us because we cannot. Who is this Jesus? He is ruler. This Jesus is a king. This Jesus is a shepherd. This Jesus is a savior. Guys, this Jesus is one that we cannot take. This Jesus is one that we gladly worship. This Jesus is one that we gladly follow and we gladly serve. At CBSM, we will not teach you any other Jesus than the biblical Jesus. We will not teach you about generic God and just say God all the time, because today God could mean any religion whatsoever in this nation. We talk about Jesus because that is where God, the real God the Father, is glorified, in Jesus Christ. Every single Wednesday night, high schoolers, every single Sunday night, middle schoolers, my desire is to teach you more and more about Jesus. The more you understand Jesus, the more you will understand yourself and who God has called you to be, because he's called us to be like Jesus Christ. The whole Bible is about Christ. The whole Bible is about Jesus. It's all about him. And that's what we study. Next, real quick, what does God want? What does God want? We'll go through this quickly. A lot of people wonder, what does God want? You know, is God weird? You know, you see different religions where people have to sacrifice chickens and kittens, you know, and they have to do all kind of weird stuff. God, am I going to have to sacrifice some animal to follow after you? God, am I going to have to do some crazy talk, some crazy dance, talk in some crazy language and go crazy in church? God, am I going to have to sell all my belongings if I believe in you and go to Africa and eat gross foods and marry somebody really ugly? God, well, you know, what is going to happen in my life just because she's, yeah, you know, I'm just going to marry because she might be godly, but you know, you're not attracted to her or whatever. God, what is it that you require from my life? What is it that you want? Is God going to ask you to punish yourself if you screw up, if you mess up, if you do wrong? Does God get mad at us as Christians? Does God get angry? Romans chapter 8 says, if you are truly a believer in Jesus Christ, that God does not condemn you. There is no condemnation towards you. He is your Father. So what does God want? What does God want from us? Micah chapter 6 explains it. Look at Micah chapter 6, verse 6. Micah chapter 6, verse 6 is this. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? God, is that what you want? You want me to bring in some things to burn before you, that will please you? Should I bring calves that are a year old, little baby cows, and burn them? God, would that make you happy for my sin? Would that satisfy you? Would that fulfill you? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Rams are animals that they would sacrifice, and oils would be ointments that they would pour out and they would sacrifice unto the Lord. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, for the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? God, would it please you? Would it satisfy you? Would you feel worshiped if I even sacrificed my own children? If I offered my firstborn to you, God, would you like that? How extreme do you want me to go, God? I want to worship you. God, what do you like? What do you want? What do you require? I think that's a question that absolutely every one of you has. If I follow God, if I give my life to Jesus Christ, what does he want from me? What does he require? Well, he tells us right here, verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? He tells us three things. You can write these things down. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Real quick, let me explain those. To do justice means simply to do righteousness, just to do the right thing. He says, what do I require of you? What do I want of you? I just want you to do the right thing. And the way that you're going to know to do the right thing is that you get in God's word. That's what we want to teach you, high schoolers, every Wednesday night, and middle schoolers, every Sunday night. We want to teach you the right way to live, to do justice, to do righteousness. How should we treat other people? How should we live before God and worship him? How should we look at ourselves? What should we do in certain times of temptation? What should we do with our money? What should we do with our TVs? What should we do with our electronics? What should we do with our families? What should we do with our time? What should we do at school? What should we do with our sports? What should we do with our lives? God answers all of those questions in his word, and we want to teach that on a consistent weekly basis so that you understand how to do justice. But also he says how to love kindness, or some translations say how to love mercy, or how to love a steadfast love kind of a God. Here's what God is saying. God is saying, I require out of my people those who don't love themselves, but they love others. God says, what I want out of my people is that they love to be kind towards others, even their enemies, even their parents, even their little brothers and sisters. This is a crazy thought. This is nuts. But God says, I want you to love kindness. I want you to love each other. And then lastly, he says, just walk humbly before me, to walk humbly with your God, that life would not be all about you, but that you would walk with God, that you would have a relationship with God, and your life would not be about you, but your life would be about God by your life being about Jesus. That's the same thing that we require, the same three things that we require out of you here in CBSM. What do we ask you to do if you become a part of us? Which we hope you will. We hope that you'll be a part of this awesome movement that God's doing. We want you to be a part of one of our worship services every week, that you will learn how to live with justice, how to live with righteousness. We want you to be a part of one of our small groups, which meets at 9 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings, so that you can learn how to be kind, how you can learn how to love people in the church, and be a part of our awesome small groups that we have with just a whole group of 7th grade girls and 8th grade girls and 9th grade girls, all the way up to 12th grade girls and 6th grade guys and 7th grade guys and 8th grade guys, all the way up to 12th grade guys, that you get to be with people who are like you in different schools, but your gender, your age, and you get to learn how to love each other as the church. And it's amazing how many best friends that we see that come out of this, and people that sacrifice for each other and take care of each other. We're not asking you to do anything crazy for our church, do anything crazy for our student ministry. We're just asking you, come and be a part of us and learn to love to worship Jesus and learn more about him. Learn to love us and we will learn to love you. Learn to love to serve Jesus as our student ministry teams are starting back up, that we'll learn about more about this Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Learn to love to serve Jesus, because we love mercy. We love to serve people. In everything we do, we'll teach you how to walk humbly with your God. And then lastly, this is the best part. We'll just end on this. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Who is God really? Who is God really? Micah 7, verse 18. This is incredible. Because who is God? Is God a taskmaster? Is God a slave driver? Is he just the old man upstairs? Is he some type of a terrorist? Is he some type of a robot? Have we just dreamed up who he is? Is he a pansy? Is he a wuss? Is he a pushover? Who is God? Verse 18, who is a God like you? Our God pardons iniquity, which means he forgives sins. He passes over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance. He does not retain his anger forever because God delights in his steadfast love for us. God will again have compassion on his people. He will tread our iniquities underfoot, which means he will stomp it out. He will stomp out our sin and get rid of our sin. God will cast out all of our sin into the depths of the sea so that we will see our sin no more. When God forgives you of your sin, God gets rid of your sin. You, God, will show faithfulness to your people, Jacob or Israel or us, in steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. This is the God that we get to talk about every worship service, that we get to talk about every small group, that we get to serve every time we meet together for SMTs. This God is amazing. This God is epic. This God is phenomenal. This God is incredible. This God is almost unbelievable. It's so good, it's almost unbelievable. But praise God, he moves us towards belief in him. I quit football as a seventh grader. I didn't know what I was getting into. I went back out again as a 12th grader, as a senior in high school. I wanted to play my senior year. Absolutely fell in love with the sport. Started at tight end and defensive end on both sides of the ball my senior year. Played every game. Loved it. And now all I am is left with regrets that I didn't play my 8th grade to 11th grade year because I wish I had more football memories. I wish I would have manned up and stuck with it and stuck it out to have more awesome football high school memories in that way. I don't want you to be left with the same regrets. I don't want you to be left with the same regrets when you become a senior, you're graduating from high school, you're getting into college, you're starting a family someday, your life is starting all over, and you, I don't want you to look back and say, I really wish I would have stuck with the church. I really wish that I would have walked with Christ. I really wish I would have given my life to Jesus. I want to encourage you, no regrets. No regrets. Stick with Jesus. Stick with the church. If it's not here, if this isn't your church, then praise God. Go get in your church, and you have fun in your church, and you serve Jesus and worship Jesus and grow with Jesus in your church. It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a church, though, we would love to have you. We'd love to have you on our team and be on mission with us as we seek to serve and please and grow with Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you all to bow your heads and close your eyes. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around right now. I just have three questions with nobody looking around. And then I want to give you just an opportunity to pray, and ask God and confess your sin to God and just whatever God has been speaking to you about, I want to give you an opportunity to pray that tonight. But how many of you tonight would say, Pastor Chip, I am a regular here at CBSM. I'm getting the mission. I'm getting what we're doing. I'm getting what we're going after. I'm getting how I can help, how I can serve, how I can be a strong part of this. And I just want you to know, Pastor Chip, I'm in it. I'm with Jesus. I'm on mission with him. I am here. I'm digging my feet in, and I'm going to do everything possible to glorify Jesus as a part of this student ministry. If you're a regular and you believe that and you want that, would you raise your hand right now? Raise your hand. That is what I want. I want to be a part of this. I want to continue to be a part of the student ministry, do whatever I can to please Jesus, grow in Jesus, worship Jesus, and glorify Jesus as a part of the student ministry. Awesome. You can put your hands down. I just want to pray for you if you're this next person. If you're somebody tonight who would say, Pastor Chip, I'm not a regular here at CBSM. I feel like God is calling me here. I would like to be more regular. I would like to join on this mission. I would like to be a part of what God is doing here. I believe God is up to something huge. You might feel, you might believe, you might sense, and that you say, would you just pray for me? I feel like God is sensing me to be a more regular part of this. Would you just raise your hand right now so I can pray for you? Just raise your hand right now so I can pray for you. See some hands? Go ahead and put them up high. Put them up high. I just want to pray for you. Awesome, guys. You can put your hands down. We would love to have you a part of us so we can be honest with you. You can be honest with us and we can grow in Jesus together. It's not about us. It's about him. Would anyone here tonight be unbelievably honest and no one looking around besides me, heads down, eyes closed, no one looking around. I do not want to embarrass anyone. I'm not going to embarrass you, call you out, or anything like that at all. Would anyone here tonight just want to, you could look up at me, you can raise your hand, whatever you need to do, get my attention. You would say, Pastor Chip, tonight, I believe that I realize that I'm not really saved. I'm not really a Christian. I haven't given my life to Jesus yet. Would you just pray for me and help me out in that process that God would lead me to Jesus, that I would be saved? Would you just raise your hand or look at me? Raise your hand or look at me. Make sure that I see you. Study your word. God, thank you so much for all of these teenagers that you brought in here to worship your son. God, thank you so much for all of our CBSM regulars who raised their hands and said that they are a part of this mission, God, that you are doing, God, what you have in store, God, in the ways that you are moving. God, I pray that you would use them in huge ways in their schools, with their friends, to be shining the light of Jesus Christ and to be bringing them to him. Father, I pray for those who raise their hands saying that they want to be a part of this. God, I pray that you would continue to move in their life. God, I pray that you would continue to grow them and to teach them. And God, that you would give them the opportunity to be a part of what you're doing here. Or God, if it's not here, if it's somewhere else, God, that they would just be a part of your mission wherever they are, wherever they go. And Father, I pray for those that raise their hands and that prayed this prayer, believing in Jesus as their Lord in his death and resurrection. God, we thank you. That if they meant it, if they believe it, God, that you would save them forever and ever and ever, and they are one of your children, and God, they have been forgiven of their sin, they have been bought with the blood, and God, now they have an eternal home with Jesus Christ forever and ever. God, we thank you so much for that, and we pray. pray that you would protect them, you would continue to grow them, and they would get to be a part of us as well. God, we love you. We can't wait to worship you right now about how much you love us. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you never let go.